On Meditation and Mental Prayer. Before prayer, prepare thy soul, and be not as a man that tempteth God. Ecclesiasticus 18:23. The following is from French priest Jean-Baptiste Massillon. The precious gift of prayer, so essential to religion, so glorious to the creature, so favorable to the sinner, so beneficial for all men, is nowadays either despised or neglected. It is to induce us to practice this that the Church proposes as our model the early Christians, who had no better occupation, no more agreeable duty. Indeed, O my God, if we were only to think of its advantage and benefit, what consolations, what sweetness would we not experience from it? Forced to live for a time in this land of exile, far from thee and far from thy celestial abode, what should we do without the salutary exercise of prayer? What better consolation can we hope for except by taking advantage by this means of raising up our thoughts to heaven, of placing ourselves in direct communication with thee, of consulting thee in all our scruples, of exposing all our wants, of telling thee of all our troubles, or of offering up all our pains and sufferings? What other resource can there be for us except by this holy exercise, by which we shall find an anointing grace which can soften our griefs, a charitable hand to dry our tears, a secret sacred ray to enlighten our path, a father who will listen to our petitions, a physician who will cure all our infirmities, a judge who will interest himself in all our concerns, a master who is ever instructing us? What other consolation will remain if we have neglected to seek for this potent remedy? The following is from St. Francis de Sales. Prayer places our understanding in the brightness and light of God, and exposes our will to the heat of heavenly love. There is nothing that so effectually purges our understanding from its ignorance, or our will from its depraved affections, as prayer. It is the water of benediction which makes the plants of our good desires grow green and flourish. It washes our souls from their imperfections, and quenches the thirst of passion in our hearts. But above all, I recommend mental and cordial prayer, and particularly that which has the life and passion of our Lord for its object. By making him the frequent subject of your meditation, your whole soul will be replenished with him. You shall learn his carriage, and frame all your actions according to this model. As he is the light of the world, it is then by him, in him, and for him that we ought to acquire luster and be enlightened. He is the tree of desire, under whose shadow we ought to refresh ourselves. He is the living fountain of Jacob, in which we may wash away all our stains. As little children, by hearing their mother talk, lisp at first, and learn at length to speak their language, so we, by keeping close to our Savior by meditation, and observing his words, actions, and affections, shall, by the help of his grace, learn to speak, to act, and to will like him. The following is from Spanish Jesuit Alfonsus Rodriguez. The first thing we must do in prayer is to represent to ourselves, by the help of our memory, the point or mystery which we may wish to be the subject of our prayer. Then the understanding must examine this point and consider all the particulars of it. Finally, the will must produce acts according as the understanding has digested the matter which had been proposed to it by the memory. But since this discourse of the understanding is the source whence all our acts in prayer flow, and since we can make no act which does not necessarily spring from this our meditation, it follows that we must be particularly careful to make this well. The truth is, this proposition is self-evident, for there is no one that has the least tincture of philosophy, but knows that the will is a blind power, unable to attach itself to anything unless the understanding guides it. Hence it is a maxim received by all philosophers that nothing can be willed unless it is first known. The will, having of itself no light, must borrow it from the understanding, which goes before it to give it knowledge, and to discover what it ought to love or hate. It is this that made St. Augustine say that we may love the things we never saw, but never those we have not known. And St. Gregory says, no one can love what he is entirely ignorant of. The reason of this is that the object of the will being a known good, we cannot love anything but because we perceive it as good and deserving of love, just as, on the contrary, we do not hate a thing or fly from it unless we conceive it to be bad and deserving of hatred. It is clear, therefore, that the operation of the understanding is the foundation of all our acts in prayer, whence it follows that meditation is most necessary, and that prayer cannot be perfect unless meditation goes before or accompanies it, as says Hugo of St. Victor.